good.
Okay. Okay, we are going to convene the February 13th meeting, a joint meeting of the Kirkland Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council. We have a special meeting agenda tonight. We are going to have a, first we'll do roll call.
Carter Bagg.
Here.
Colleen Cullen.
Here.
Scott Rooser.
Here.
Angela Rosman.
Here.
Rodney Rutherford.
Here.
Sandeep Singhal.
Here.
John Tim Chisholm.
Here.
Brian Gothrop.
Here.
Bill Goggins.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Larry Totally.
Here.
Rick Whitney. Ruth Wright.
Here.
Thanks.
Okay, so all right, we have a kind of a split agenda tonight. The first item, which we will conduct in right after this in this room, will be a public hearing on the rooftop amenity code amendments. And it'll be a joint meeting of both the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council. We will take public testimony. We'll hear a staff presentation. We will go through the whole process on that. At the end, we will close the public hearing. And then we get to this part where the Planning Commission will remain here and do a study session on the missing middle housing and accessory dwelling units, while the Houghton Community Council will adjourn. We'll have a break between the two sessions, and they are going to reconvene down the hall right behind here in the Rose Hill Room. And that hearing will be conducted in there. It's, again, a study session. Okay, so that's the agenda. Are there comments from the audience of anybody not specific to the items on this agenda tonight?
Oh, sure.
Come on, Mark.
Hi, my name is Margaret Bull. I live in Houghton, and I have some concerns about when there's plans for developments or roadworks and things. I'm just hoping a big effort is made towards parking for the people building developments, or like with 108th going to be remodeled, or whatever you call it, for the pipe. Sometimes there's these really big trucks that carry the ditch diggers, and if they park on my street and I get all those parking, people parking for the bus, you can't really fit a car through very well. So I don't know if there's a bigger plan, but I just hope whenever you think of big building projects, you think, oh, where's the guy going to park that drives the ditch digger around, or where's all those guys in their trucks going to park? Because over at Redmond Library, there's no place to park because there's construction going on there constantly. So I'm just hoping both Houghton Community Council and the planning kind of has the big picture there and decides what they might, you know, what kind of plans the developers or the public works or whoever have in place. So it's not impacting the citizens of Kirkland any more than it has to.
Thank you. Okay. At this point, we will open the public hearing on rooftop amenity code amendments. I'm going to propose we first start with the staff presentation. Then we will allow, as I say, not only allow, but invite people to come. There is a sign-in roster over there next to the cookies, so that'll get you interested.
And the cookies are for everyone.
I know.
That's the rule.
Yep.
Bill told me it's not for ivory, and everyone's allowed to have them.
And you'll never guess who brought the cookies.
Thank you, Margaret. The cookie queen.
Please sign up. Put your name and address. There will be an opportunity if for some reason you decide later, but we would then ask you to come up, state your name and address at the podium, and that takes up some of your 3 minutes. So if you wish to speak, please sign up. That being said, we are ready for the staff presentation on rooftop amenity code amendment.
Thank you. Good evening, Planning Commissioners, Houghton Community Council members. I'm Allison Zeich with the Planning Division, and we'll be talking tonight about the rooftop amenity code amendments. To give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about tonight, I'll go over a little bit of background and review of how we got here. We'll talk a bit about the public outreach we've done for this project. We'll go into our scoping direction that we received from the Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council while we started work on these code amendments. We'll walk through those, the highlights at least, of the draft code amendments, and then talk about next steps and answer any questions that you might have. So to start, why are we looking at revising or looking at these rooftop amenity code amendments? And the reason is that we wanted to explore options to provide more outdoor amenity space for multifamily and commercial tenants. And we're focusing on rooftop amenities, which might include things like you see here, planters, seating, dog runs, things like that, specifically on rooftops. Also in the scope of this project was looking at our existing regulations for rooftop appurtenances, and those are separate from rooftop amenities. Rooftop appurtenances are things like HVAC equipment, elevator equipment, stair penthouses, things like that. So we already have code on the books that regulates rooftop appurtenances and provides some allowance for those to extend above the maximum building height. So within the scope of this project, we also looked at some cleanup and clarification items for the existing regulations for rooftop appurtenances. Briefly, I'll go over what our existing code generally says about rooftop appurtenances and where and how they're allowed to be over the maximum building height. On the left of your screen, you'll see what we allow in our code by right for rooftop appurtenances. So by right through something like just a building permit review, rooftop appurtenances are allowed to be no more than 4 feet above the maximum structure height, as long as they're not don't make up more than 10% of the building footprint. On the right, you'll see what we can potentially allow through a modification process, and that would allow rooftop appurtenances to be taller than the 4 feet. They could be up to 15 feet tall or the height of the floor below, and that's how much they can be above the maximum structure height. That's limited, though, to whichever is less between the height of the floor below and the 15 feet. And then the allowed building or the allowed footprint for those through the modification process is potentially up to 25% of the building footprint. So that's what's on the books now. When we started looking at this and looking at options to encourage or allow more rooftop amenities, we found that the existing code had some barriers to the provision of rooftop amenities. I'll go through those three things we identified quickly. And the first is that right now, any railings, which you need if you're going to have people on the roof, any railings have to comply with the maximum building height for the zone. In addition to that, we found that we heard that the allowed height for elevator equipment in the existing code is pretty restrictive when you look at how much space you actually need to get an elevator cab to get people all the way up to the rooftop. And then in addition to the elevator cab, the equipment that's needed on top of that elevator cab to get it up there, that the existing code was a little too restrictive for people to be able to do that very easily. And the third barrier we identified was simply that we didn't have a definition for rooftop amenities in the existing code, and so there was no allowance for those amenities to extend above the maximum structure height. So those were the three barriers. That's what we looked at kind of addressing through these rooftop amenity code amendments. So we've been out to talk to several residents and design professionals in the area, and we talked with them about the possibility of allowing more rooftop amenities and allowing those rooftop amenities above the maximum structure height, and identified some trends and what people saw as pros and cons to that. The pros being that allowing some more flexibility might result in better design of the structures, that rooftop amenities or terraces or rooftop decks can provide community gathering spaces, it can provide more green space on the roof, and possibly if you have better spaces on rooftops at places like apartment buildings, you might get increased rent or tenancy. The cons that people identified to more rooftop amenities were possibly loss of views, clutter, noise or lighting resulting from having those rooftop amenities up there. And then also just the compatibility with surroundings and where neighborhoods might meet or where multifamily or commercial buildings might butt up against more moderate or low density neighborhoods. We heard some concerns addressed about that. And you've received the public comments that we received through the process. We received a couple today that didn't make it into the packet, so those were printed out at your seats for your review. So we've been to Planning Commission for a couple study sessions, to Houghton Community Council for one study session. And at those study sessions, we received some direction that we kept in mind when we were drafting the code amendments. In general, the direction we got was, yes, amend the code to encourage more rooftop amenities. Look at amending the code to increase the flexibility to provide rooftop access. So that was looking at things like increasing the allowed height for elevator or stair penthouses or overruns to get people up there. And then also both Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council wanted us to go ahead and explore the idea of allowing enclosed or covered space up on the rooftop above the maximum structure height. And I'm sure we'll talk about that tonight. Just to reiterate, when we came to Houghton Community Council for our study session, we thought the direction was pretty consistent with what Planning Commission had given us the okay to explore with the code amendments. So now I'll run through the code amendments. There are several cleanup items in the draft code, and the full text of that is in your packet. But we identified kind of 10 highlights, and these are the big items. So the first amendment was just that we had to add a definition for rooftop amenities. At our last Planning Commission study session, there were a couple items that you specifically wanted us to add to that definition, and we did that. So the full text, again, is in your packet, but the highlights are here. We also added a definition for rooftop common rooms that will potentially be allowed to extend above the maximum structure height. And the most important thing, I think, about that for you to keep in mind is that we're proposing to define rooftop common room as enclosed or just covered space up on the rooftop. So it's not just what people might typically think of as a room. It's enclosed or just covered space is what we've proposed to define as a rooftop common room. The third amendment we made was we added intent sections for rooftop appurtenances and the new proposed rooftop amenity section of the code. We did some code amendments to clarify the screening requirements for rooftop appurtenances. So that was an existing code section that we just worked to clarify. This is one of the bigger ticket items. We revised the height allowance and the review process for elevators and elevator equipment and stair enclosures as far as how much they can extend above the maximum structure height. So the code used to say that it could extend with a modification process, that elevator or stair equipment could extend 15 feet above the maximum structure height or the height of the floor below, whichever was less. In almost every case, the height of the floor below is less than 15 feet, so that was turning out to be the more limiting factor. Which we got quite a bit of feedback that wasn't always enough and often wasn't enough. We've proposed in the draft code to just increase the height allowance, just go with the 15 feet rather than height of the floor below, whichever is less. It's just 15 feet. And we've also proposed that be allowed by right. So without a modification process, we have quite a bit of precedent for allowing these. Through the modification process, we've approved several of them. The sixth change is to add a new section to the zoning code that allows rooftop amenities to extend above the maximum structure height by up to 4 feet. We have not proposed a footprint maximum on those rooftop amenities, as long as they're no more than 4 feet above the maximum structure height. We included railings in that definition, so railings also are proposed to be allowed to extend above the maximum structure height for the zone. In the draft code, we do have a setback requirement for railings of 5 feet from the building edge, and also a requirement that they be transparent or mostly open. So the seventh potential change is adding a new section to the zoning code that allows rooftop common rooms to extend above the maximum structure height. In the draft code, those are currently height-wise limited to 15 feet above the maximum height, or the height of the story below, whichever is less. And Planning Commission had quite a bit of feedback about this at our last study session, so we incorporated those comments into the code. At the last study session with Planning Commission, staff had drafted this proposal at allowing the area of rooftop common rooms to be 1,000 square feet or 10% of the building footprint, whichever was less. Planning Commission directed us to reduce that down to 500 square feet or 10% of the building footprint, whichever is less. Planning Commission also gave us direction. We've incorporated this into the draft code that those rooftop common rooms, if they are enclosed, that they must contain some type of transparency. So we added a transparency requirement into the code, as well as a setback requirement so that these have to be set back from the edge of the building, a distance equal to the height of the rooftop common room. And then also we've provided requirements for some type of trade-off or public benefit if someone is applying to have a rooftop common room extend above the maximum structure height. And in the draft code right now, we've proposed that rooftop common rooms only be allowed through a modification process, so it is something that would require notice of the adjacent properties, so it's not a by right allowance in the draft code. The eighth change is just looking at the required review process for any rooftop appurtenance or rooftop common room modifications. So in the existing code, those are planning official decisions. In the draft code, we're proposing to change it so that if the project requires some type of larger land use review, like a planning director review or a design review board review, hearing examiner review, any of those, that the rooftop appurtenance or rooftop amenity modification would be reviewed as part of that larger project. So more opportunity for more public comment and kind of broader outreach on those. The ninth change is kind of a cleanup item, just moving a section of code that talks about the screening requirements for ground-mounted mechanical units. We didn't think that made a lot of sense in the rooftop appurtenance section, so we moved it into a section that made more sense. And then the last big change, we talked quite a bit at the last Planning Commission about what to do with the CBD 1A and 1B zones that currently have more restrictive allowances for rooftop appurtenances than any other zone. Planning Commission directed us to go ahead and draft code that would allow this kind of new flexibility for rooftop amenity provision and flexibility to get people up to those rooftops to extend it to the CBD 1A and 1B zones only through a modification process, and so we've drafted code that sets forth those. And with that, just next steps, tonight after the close of the hearing, we're going to deliberate with the Houghton Community Council. Once Houghton Community Council has a recommendation to Planning Commission, we're hoping to come back to Planning Commission's next meeting so that you can deliberate. And we're tentatively scheduled to go to City Council with this item on April 7th. And with that, staff is available for questions.
Mr. Commissioner Tim Chisholm.
Thank you. Quick question. If in the rare event that a resident's view of, let's say, the lake is going to be blocked by a rooftop appurtenance or a rooftop building, does that citizen have a mechanism for their grievance? Is there anybody they can go to, or a process or a procedure that they can object to a rooftop appurtenance or building being built within their line of sight of the lake, let's say?
If the rooftop appurtenance or the rooftop common room was only allowed through a modification process, which rooftop common rooms are only proposed to be allowed through a modification process, the applicant does have to show that they meet the criteria in the code, one of which is that the impact is minimized and that there is, in the code, it does, one of the criteria is that it's not significantly blocking a view.
Okay.
So it would be upon the applicant to show that they meet that. The modifications do require notice to adjacent neighbors, so there's a comment period. If the modification becomes part of a larger process, so if that structure itself requires, for example, design review, there would be design review board meetings and things like that people can make public comment about.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Let me just finish with us, and then we'll turn it over to you guys. And I have one question, and that is, I saw the staff recommended, because we had our previous Planning Commission recommendation was the common room be 500 square feet, but that not include such public toilets as may be required to support that. And I saw the recommendation in the bulletin was to add 50 square feet for a toilet, but it didn't, it just said add 50 square feet. It didn't specify what for. So I was a little concerned about that. In looking at the paragraph 115-1.1123C down at the bottom where it says shall not exceed 500 square feet or 10%, whichever is less. I wonder if that following statement in some way ought to could incorporate restrooms and not add it to the assembly area in the commons room.
I suppose the commission or Houghton Community Council would have the option to direct us to do so. We didn't write a bathroom exemption into the proposed code. Staff felt like that was going to be a little bit difficult to administer if we started looking at how much space, you know, are we going to exempt bathrooms up to 200 square feet or bathrooms, or require that if bathrooms are exempt that they're just the minimum size. It started feeling like the code was getting a little complicated and we were concerned about ease of administration. And so I think the staff memo is kind of pointing at if you would imagine that you want 500 square feet of sort of recreation space and would want, if there are bathrooms required up there or provided within a rooftop common room, if you want that to be exempt, that you maybe just consider bumping up the base allowance for that rooftop common room to incorporate something like a minimal bathroom.
But the way it's with that, it's like they could put 50 more square feet of assembly common room, because it doesn't say what the extra 50 feet's for. And I think what uniform plumbing code or something may require. Maybe we should talk to the building department.
Building department indicated that the restroom could likely be provided. It doesn't have to be on the rooftop as long as it's accessible on the floor below. So it's not that it's mandatory that that additional 50 square feet or however big the restroom is, it doesn't have to necessarily be on the roof.
I kind of think it would be preferred to be up next to where it's being used, but that's...
We have a project with common bathrooms on a different floor. Yeah. We have a couple of projects where common bathrooms are on different floors than community
on different
space.
Floors and it
yeah.
Works.
Yeah. I mean, we have limited space for that sort of thing, and you kind of make it work where it fits. So it's not preferred, but there are definitely situations where that happens.
All right. Any other commissioners have any comments? Commissioner Rutherford?
Somebody from the Houghton Community Council asked Commissioner.
Yeah, he said.
I said no, sorry.
Oh.
Any comments?
All right, let's just.
He said no. He said he had no
comments. Okay. All right. So I would turn it over to Vice Chair Kapler to pick on or recognize Ms. Pringle.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? Yeah. Betsy?
Could you go to the slide right before this one? Right, the downtown. So I'm looking at some very large apartment buildings downtown that I can't tell if they're necessarily all the buildings are connected or not. But there's one here that's kind of a J shape over down here in the lower corner. If you can see it. I'm just wondering if would that sort of a building get possibly 2 or 3 500 feet rooftops, or would that be considered one building and it would get one 500-foot.
I'm not sure about this building specifically, but I think we'd start from the ground floor up. So if it's connected on the ground floor and then goes into two towers or something like that, I believe we regulate that as one structure. And so that's what we'd be looking at. If two separate structures with two separate footprints, it would potentially get two separate sets of building footprint calculations.
All the big buildings you see there, like on Kirkland Avenue, Kirkland Central, Merrill Gardens, and the Bank of America building, those are all single buildings, so that'd be one space. And then the Park Lane, the apartment buildings on Park Lane, that's just one structure. So I think all the big buildings you're seeing on there, the big multi-story buildings, are just one structure.
Okay, thank you.
Harry?
I have a couple of questions. Is there any limitation on the type of use of the amenities and or the hours and time of day? I can envision a party going on at 3 a.m. or whatever else with noise and light out there. And I didn't see anything in here on kind of restricting that, or it may not even exceed code limits or whatever else, but it's certainly going to be, could be a thing. Another question was along, if there's lighting on these amenities for either the landscape areas or around the common room, the area without the common room, would those light fixtures be restricted to 4 feet in height, or would they actually be higher pedestrian lighting? Is that considered a structure?
So I'll start with the timing and the hours. We haven't proposed in the zoning code any use restrictions as far as time. The zoning code does have glare regulations on the books that any lighting could potentially be subject to. And so we haven't proposed any new glare or lighting regulations as part of these amendments. As far as lighting on the rooftop amenity definition is one of those things such as, but not limited to, types of definitions. And so lighting would be included in that. It would be a structure. And so any lighting would also be limited to no more than 4 feet above maximum structure height. I suppose if they had, like, sconce lighting on, say, an elevator penthouse that was more than 4 feet above, which I think that would be allowed under the current code. But a standalone lighting fixture would be looked at as a rooftop amenity and subject to those regulations.
And one more question is, so if you have a covered area, say up to 500 feet for a common room, and the applicant provides the following item of a landscaped area equal to the square footage of the rooftop common room. So you have 500-foot common room and then 500-foot landscaped area. So I'm assuming that landscaped area would still be accessible to the users of the common room, so you actually might have like a 1,000-square-foot area to wander around in during the day, night, whatever?
Correct. And so the way that the code is drafted now, we're not putting a limit on the rooftop amenity space, which could be all things 4 feet or less above maximum structure height. So that could be, besides the restriction on the railings having to be set back 5 feet from the building edge, hypothetically, someone could have almost the entire rooftop be a rooftop deck that's accessible to people.
Thank you.
Betsy?
Yeah. This brings up one of the things we talked about last time we looked at this was gardens, mm-hmm. Having, you know, rooftop gardens and allowing people to grow their own food up on the rooftop and things like that. But how would the 4 feet impact that? You would just have to have, couldn't go over 4 feet. It would just be like the plants can go over 4 feet.
Right. So our existing zoning code doesn't have any, and I don't believe anywhere in the zoning code do we restrict the height of vegetation. And we haven't proposed to do so on a rooftop either.
Okay.
What we would limit is the height of, like, a planter. Okay. So the planters themselves would be subject to that 4 foot above maximum structure height, but we aren't proposing to regulate the height of the vegetation itself.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Back to you, Mr. Bagg.
Okay. Do we have anybody on the sign-in roster to speak? Thank you. Okay. Just to explain for those of you who may not have spoken here or seen the procedure before, when you come to the podium, and you have to come to the podium to talk, and the lights will go on and the green light will go on. You have 3 minutes to speak. The green light starts your 3 minutes counting. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute to go, and then the red light comes on and your 3 minutes are up. And I'll won't cut you off in mid-sentence, but shortly thereafter. So with that, somebody who I know is well experienced with the process is Margaret Bull, is our first speaker.
Hi, I'm Margaret Bull. I wasn't sure if solar panels were part of an appurtenance, because it seems like more and more places would want to put solar panels up. So I wasn't really sure where that goes in the plan. And of course, there's problems with solar panels shining light into other people's houses, depending on the reflection. But really, my other concern is, having looked at apartments in downtown Redmond, is the apartments in Redmond are very dog-friendly, but they're not children-friendly. And so I'm just wondering how the idea of children fits into these rooftop amenities. You know, if they're not going to be safe for children, they'd be a great place for a child to play if it could be organized that way. I know a lot of people where the dad is a weekend dad or a once-a-week dad, and to have a child in a small bedroom apartment, and we know how small some of these apartments are, you really need a place where you could take that child to play. We're not all walking in the rain several blocks down to that big park. No, these people need some place in the building or on top of the building to take that child. So I just want to make sure when you're making these regulations that you keep that in mind, and that that might affect the railings, or that might have affects something else, because you don't really want to exclude children if you're putting a space up here. So, you know, I don't think a dog should get a dog run, and there's no run for a kid.
I think I'd be glad, but I'm going to let Allison describe why solar panels, to answer your first question, is not an amenity, it's an appurtenance. It's considered like the mechanical equipment.
Well, I just thought maybe it would have been included in the discussion because you kind of showed what an appurtenance would look like.
Yeah, it is. And do you want to describe screenings and setbacks and whatever?
Yeah, solar panels are regulated separately in the code, so they're actually excluded from the definition of rooftop appurtenance and not proposed as part of the rooftop amenity definition. So they're regulated separately in the zoning code with their own height allowances and things like that.
Okay, and as far as the children part, I would suggest that might be an appeal a developer might consider or leasing up his apartments or her apartments. Next is Tanya Dempsey.
I have not done this before, so going after you is a little intimidating.
I'm gonna.
Will you come next to me?
I'm gonna give it a shot because I like where I live, and this scares me. So I'm Tanya Dempsey, and I live at 1517 First Street. And I thank the Planning Commission for your work in balancing growth in the city. I want to confess that I am pro-growth, and I believe in denser sustainable development in Kirkland. I support, am I close enough?
You can get closer to the mic if you like.
I support rooftop amenities and appurtenances for tall buildings within high-density commercial or high-density multifamily areas. However, in regards to commercial properties and stacked housing adjacent to low-density areas, I do not support this proposal of rooftop amenities and appurtenances. I suggest we preserve the existing, or the Planning Commission suggests, preserve the existing zoning concerning rooftop amenities and appurtenances for buildings throughout the city where the development is either located on or on a lot adjacent to a lot zone for low density residential, located on a lot across an alley or street from a lot zone for low density residential, zone for four or fewer stories. I hope that the city proceeds based on the city staff recommended approach to elsewhere, generally for tall buildings located in high-density commercial or high-density multifamily areas. In these situations, the increased height and mass of the structures, I think, on top of the buildings would make a big difference. I live at 1517 First Street, so I am 16 feet away, my fence from a commercial property, 1524 Market Street. It's large. I've lived there for 16 years, lived in Kirkland for 16 years. I have two children and a husband. My husband is an educator. I'm a stay-at-home mom. This would directly impact not only our quietude, our lifestyle, the way we live, but also our home value, and it scares me. And I actually don't think it's the right thing for Market Street Corridor at this time. Yay for a development on 85th Street, Kirkland Urban, Totem Lake, but this does not fit with low density, next to low density residential areas. How'd I do? Okay, great.
Very good.
Thank you.
I'm back.
Adam Crane.
Sit this one out, no comment.
Tell me I did great.
You did great.
Okay. No comment, okay. So that's the people that have signed up. Is there anybody else who wishes to come to the podium and speak? Hearing none? Close. Therefore, any further questions from the commission or comments? Any further questions from the council?
Can I go back to the packet on page 25? There. First of all, I wanted to ask, are these photographs, is this part that we're seeing here, was this something that the city created, or is this from a developer that created these images?
This was submitted as a public comment, so it was not city produced.
Okay. Just the building on page 25, at the top, it's got, you know, one of the common rooms on the roof, and this to me looks like it would not fit the exam, did not fit the code. Is that correct? I mean, this looks like it is much bigger than 500 square feet, and it looks pretty closed. It looks like a whole office to me with a lot of windows. Is that, would that be allowed under current, or under what we're proposing?
Yeah, and I won't assume that, I'm not sure where this is intended to reflect, if it is intended to be inside the structure that falls under maximum structure height, or if it's intended to depict a rooftop common room. I don't have enough information to tell you whether or not what it is and whether or not it would comply.
But this looks like permanent structures, you know, like permanent bookcases and desks and chairs. We're talking about something that's much more of an amenity for people that live or work in the building to come and go as they please, or perhaps have an informal gathering, maybe even a formal gathering on the roof, but not be set up as a new office space in a building.
The proposed definition of rooftop common room specifies that it is a space that's open to all tenants or occupants of a building, and so not limited to just one unit or one office within a multi-tenant building or something like that.
Okay. So this picture I'm going to ignore, right? It's not being part of what we would be approving. Thank you.
Any other questions? Back to you.
There being no more questions from the Planning Commission, City Council, I'm going to move the public hearing be closed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Houghton Community Council, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, so we're going to take a few-minute break. And again, we're going to split up. The Houghton Community Council is going to go down to the Rose Hill Room, out this exit down the hall. And you're going to deliberate, actually, on the discussion we've discussed of rooftop amenities and appurtenances that we've just had, to make a recommendation that the Planning Commission will get from the council and make its decision in 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the Planning Commission will stay here and conduct a study session on missing middle housing and ADUs. With that, we're going to take a break while this shift goes on, and the public hearing is closed.